We can always find reasons to divide from others. We've just come through a federal election campaign. Politics, by its nature, divides us into groups, into factions. So we spent 36 days thinking about who we would or would not support. And after the election, many said, Canada is more divided now than it was before the election. The pandemic has divided us. Think of how it has physically divided us as a congregation. Before the pandemic, we all met together at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Now, one group meets at 9:30 here in person, one group meets online. One group meets at 11 in person, another group meets online. Four divisions and groups of people just because of the pandemic. And on top of that, we can divide over public health measures, masks and vaccines. Everyone has their viewpoint on those topics. By now, we're all aware of how a conversation about that can explode. And so we're cautious. And such tension and caution is understandable because we're all coping with the additional stress brought into our lives by COVID and the pandemic. Someone shared recently with me about a post that they saw, which said something like this: COVID has made average people angry, and it's made already angry people crazy. And some of you face tough decisions that may bring further division in your life. Maybe your employer is making vaccines mandatory and you're not sure how you feel about that, or you're responsible for enforcing a vaccine mandate in your organization and you're facing resistance. And we still have to deal with the stresses of life, illnesses, ongoing struggles. And so in this climate of division and stress, how can we come together as a people, as God's people, to do His good work? Well, I believe that if we depend solely on ourselves and our own efforts, it's impossible. Because we humans are experts at dividing and separating over disagreements, dislikes, differences. But if we turn to the Lord and we ask for His Spirit to bring unity among us, it is possible for us to come together as God's people to do His good work. And that happened in Jerusalem about 2,400 years ago, as told in the Bible book of Nehemiah. Last week we saw Nehemiah arrive in Jerusalem with a Persian cavalry escort. And after 3 days, he and a few men surveyed the destruction around Jerusalem's walls and gates. And then he gathers the people together and calls them to join together in rebuilding. Nehemiah informs them of the favor of God upon this mission and of the emperor. And the people collectively agree to join in this good work. They say, "Let us rise up and build." Yet Nehemiah faces immediate opposition from local governors. So he declares his trust in God to see this work through despite the opposition. Yet talk is cheap. It's one thing for people to say, "Yeah, we'll join together with you to rebuild." It's another to actually do it. And today we're going to look at what happens next. And then we're going to check out our own attitude towards the work that God has for us to do as a community, regathering, reconnecting, inviting others for the sake of God's name. So today we're going to be looking at the Bible passage Nehemiah 3. But I'm not going to put the words up on the screen because this passage is a list of names of people doing various tasks. And so it's kind of like the list at the end of a movie, the credits, which no one sticks around to read. Yet without the people in that list, there would be no movie. And in the same way, without the people on this list, there would be no rebuilding of the wall. So to try to help us through this passage, I'm going to put this map up on the screen, and I'm going to read some of the passage and point out to you where things are to give you an idea of what happened in the rebuilding of this wall. So first of all, this is a rendition of the city of Jerusalem at the time of Nehemiah. This green, big green part over here used to be Jerusalem, but was destroyed when the Babylonians conquered it in 586. And so this part right here is the wall that they rebuilt. And the passage begins at the sheep gate, which is up here, and works its way around. And so I'm going to read the first 8 verses, pointing out a couple of things on the way, and then we'll jump to the last verses. So Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1-8, which states, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Then the sons of Hasaniah built the Fish Gate," which is right here. "And they laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakos, repaired. And next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, repaired." Verse 5, "And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. Then Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besadeah, repaired the gate of Yeshana," which is right over here, Gate of Yeshana, or Old Gate. "They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Maronathite, the men of Gibeon, and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province beyond the river." And then one more verse. "Next to them Uziel, the son of Harhiah, goldsmiths, repaired. And next to him Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall." And then verses 9-16 describe those who built on this side of the city, all the way down to the king's garden and the lower pool. And then verses 17-27 list those who built this long stretch of wall and the part that leads up here beside the temple again, and back to the sheep gate. So I'm just going to read verses 28-32 to finish off. So verse 28. "Above the horse gate, the priests repaired, each one his own house. And after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, repaired opposite his own house. And after him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, repaired." And they list more and more names until we get to verse 32. "And between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and merchants repaired." Now, that is kind of a tough Bible reading to get inspiration for your day from. Yet, there is some things to be gleaned from this passage, especially as we consider who God brought together to accomplish this work. And I can see 4 things that God did in bringing the people on this list together. So what did God, through Nehemiah, do to bring his people together to do his good work? And the first thing that I see is he brought very different people together to do his good work. People from all different walks of life. So you have the clergy and the non-clergy. We see the high priest and priests, temple servants and Levites. And yet there's other people who are not priests, who are together working side by side with the priests. The list includes rulers and commoners. So verse 14 is an example which says, "Malkijah, ruler of a district, Shalom, ruler of a district, rebuilt." Or verse 16, "Nehemiah," not the subject of the book, but a different Nehemiah, "ruler of the half district of Bethsur, built." And yet there were others who weren't rulers that joined in the building. The list also includes men and women. The men are identified by name, but in verse 12 we see evidence of female builders. So verse 12, "Shalom, the son of Halohesh, ruler of the half district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters." We also see people come from different towns and regions to help. Not only residents of Jerusalem, there's residents of Tekoa, Jericho, Zanoah, and Mizpah joining in the work. And notice they worked side by side. And that phrase, next to him, next to him, next to him, is repeated again and again. So despite their differences in class, profession, gender, origin, they come together to do this good work of God. And if we look across SVBC, we see people with different nationalities, different skin color, different ethnicities, different ages. We come from different places, like Sturgeon County, or St. Albert, or Edmonton, or Spruce Grove, or Morinville. We come from different marital situations, never married, newly married, divorced, widowed, separated. We have people from different professions and jobs, like teachers and doctors and laborers and tradespeople, nurses and dentists and other healthcare professionals, graphic designers and cooks, piano teachers and electricians, farmers of potatoes and grain and canola, engineers, accountants, military, homemakers, food industry people, government workers. We have different opinions, different preferences in food, music, and art, and we can always find something different about one another to separate about. Or we can celebrate that God has brought such a diverse people together. And God brought different people together to rebuild the wall. Secondly, we see that God gave them different roles to play that all contributed to the work. Archaeologists estimate that the wall was about 4 kilometers in length or circumference around the city. That's about 2.5 miles. Now, Nehemiah could have tried to build the wall himself, but it would have taken years. It would never have gotten done because of the limitations on Nehemiah's strength and own ability. Yet here we see the work divided into about 40 to 41 groups, and they didn't all work on the sheep gate. Each had their assignment, their individual section, which contributed to the whole wall. The sum of the parts was greater than the parts individually. And when we come together as a body, we collectively benefit from one another's contribution. Some prepare coffee, which you saw outside, to contribute to our fellowship. Some join in music with other people to lead us in worship. The people at the back ensure that we can hear the worship. We can participate in it. We can see it if you're watching online. People come together for a children's ministry, a youth ministry, and our small group ministry. And your collective prayers for those who are in need go a long way, way beyond that in which I could pray myself as a pastor. Your giving enables us to keep the church going and support missionaries and this facility open for use for ministry. God uses all who participate to accomplish his good work through SVBC. Thirdly, I see God empowering the willing to do hard work, hard and dirty work. And though chapter 3 contains this wonderful picture of people coming together on this great project, we must not sugarcoat the work's difficulty. Jerusalem is in a hot and arid climate, so any work is going to be sweat-soaking kind of work. And the work itself was back-breaking, mostly by hand, lifting stones. It would take a supreme full-time effort of all the people to get this massive project done. And did you notice the one mention of those who refused to participate? Verse 5 again. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. In other words, rebuilding a wall to them was work that was beneath them. They wouldn't participate. And sometimes the work God calls us to do is hard and messy especially when it comes to dealing with people. Yet by God's strength, we can do His work in His power. And then I noticed one more way God, through Nehemiah, brought His people together to do this good work. God inspired some to work outside of their comfort zones. Look at verse 8 again. It says this: "Next to them, Uzziel, the son of Harhiah, goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired and restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall." And we've already seen rulers of districts helping to repair, and priests and other clergy helping to repair. Well, goldsmiths and perfumers are not trained in wall building, nor are rulers who are administrators or priests who look after worship or minister to people. And yet, here they are rebuilding the wall. God may call us to step out of our comfort zone to do the work that He has for us to do. And yes, God gives us gifts, and we need to use those gifts to His glory. Yet we may need to guard against refusing to participate in something because it's not our area of passion. And this includes Christian basics like prayer. Oh, I don't have the gift of prayer. Well, that's no excuse. We're all called to pray. We're all called to share the gospel, even though we're not comfortable with it. Yet God empowers us to do His good work, even if it's outside our comfort zone. And all this adds up to the following: God unifies diverse people to accomplish His good work. Yes, we can easily focus on our differences and refuse to come together, or we can focus on the unity that Christ has brought us together, and then together we do His good work through the community of His people called the church. Now, some might look at Nehemiah 3 and say, well, that's just like any community-wide project. Isn't that what happens? People from all different walks of life come together for the common good on a common project. Usually, they have something that unites them, whether it be a common connection, like survivors from some sort of trauma, or a common cause, maybe an illness that a family member had, and so we're going to join the run for the cure. And all of those are very worthy projects and purposes. However, there is something unique about the church and Christian works. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22, which says this: "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So notice the building imagery. You've got the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You've got Jesus as the cornerstone. And then you've got people being built up in the temple as the temple of God. The people collectively form the dwelling place of God. So it's not only that God dwells in us individually, but God indwells us corporately when we come together. And our coming together involves this creation of a community among whom God dwells. Listen to 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So becoming a Christian is not just about God and me, it's about God and we, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. So God brought this diverse group of people together to accomplish his good work in rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem around 445 BC. And God continues to do his good work in churches today. Now, I know churches have problems. Churches have difficult histories, both the church and individual churches. The church is not perfect. This church is not perfect. It's full of sinners who have been forgiven by God. But without the churches that I have been part of in my lifetime, I would not be the person that I am today. I started in a place called Brentview Baptist Church in Calgary. Growing up there, the gospel was planted in me there. I was baptized there and experienced the joy of Christian community. And then I experienced Christian community at seminary and college, and I met my wife there and made lifelong friends there. I also grew dramatically in studying God's word there. And from there, we went to Greenfield Baptist in South Edmonton, and the patient people there allowed me to grow and learn as a pastor. Lori and I were married there, and I experienced mentorship for ministry there. Then we were part of the Nepean Baptist Church in Ottawa, a small community of loving people, and I grew tremendously there in a different culture and setting. All our kids were born in Ottawa and dedicated at that church, and that community enabled me to continue in my learning and growing as a preacher. And then there's this church here, SVBC. All of our kids were baptized here. They came through the children's and youth ministry here. Our oldest daughter got married here, and we have been blessed by your encouragement and prayers over the years. And in all of these churches, we have met people from very diverse backgrounds, yet they have contributed to the body of Christ and given us a taste of the dwelling place of God among his people. So yes, the church is imperfect and has its problems, but it is also the unique community of God's people where God resides and dwells among his people. And he has great works that we can do together. So, as we close today, I want you to think about an answer to this question. How might you help regather, reconnect, and invite others for the sake of God's name this fall in this community? And here's some ideas. First of all, we need to turn to the Lord and ask for his unifying work among us. On our own, we will naturally divide and separate. But in Christ, we can come together as one. Jesus demonstrated this amazing unity with his Father when he lived on earth. And God has revealed himself as one in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. They work together in complete and perfect unity. So we need to prayerfully, as individuals, couples, families, and community, ask the Lord to do his unifying work among us. Second, let us support one another in prayer, encouragement, and participation. If you're not already part of our prayer chain, I want to invite you to join it by emailing prayer@svbc.ab.ca. And then you will receive updates of people and church needs that you can pray about. And if you know the people that you're praying for, when you see them next, you can simply say, "I prayed for you." And that can be an incredibly unifying statement. You can also support others by encouraging or affirming them or thanking them for their role in some ministry in our community. Thank you for serving coffee. Thank you for being part of our children's ministry, our worship ministry, our youth or small group ministry. So encourage. And we can also support one another by participating. Do you know one of the greatest works that you can do to bring unity to this community? Show up. Support those who are trying to do ministry by showing up and participating in whatever way you can. And your presence can bring a huge blessing to others. So, one way that we can participate is by praying and asking God to bring unity of spirit in this community. Secondly, we can support one another through prayer, encouragement, and participation. And third, when you're strong, look out for the weak. When you're weak, receive ministry from the strong. And if I were to survey this room today, and those of you watching online, some of you are doing great. Life is going along, things are going well, you're walking with the Lord in His strength. Praise God for that, and then look for others that you can support in some way. And I'd also find others who are not doing great today. Maybe you're grieving or broken or discouraged or troubled. Will you accept the ministry of others who may reach out to you? And by receiving ministry, you can encourage those who are reaching out to you in love. So, three simple ways each of us can participate in God's community at SVBC. One, pray and ask God to do His unifying work among us. Two, support one another by joining our prayer chain, encouraging those in ministry, or participating. And three, if you're strong, look out for the weak. And if you're weak, receive ministry from those strong. And many of you are already doing this. But if we all do it, we will taste more deeply the beautiful work of God, where He unifies diverse people to accomplish His good work. And so as we close today, I want to invite you to bring the closing prayer, not me. And we're going to do that by praying together with one another. And you, I'd like to ask you to pray and ask the Lord for Him to bring more unity of the Spirit among us. So you can pray with your spouse or pray with your family, or if you're not comfortable doing that, you can just pray on your own. And let's spend a few moments in prayer together, and then I'll close our time. So at this time, I invite you to pray and ask God to bring the unity of the Spirit in greater measure among us. Let us pray. Lord God, forgive us for contributing to division. Some of us may even have to confess that that's our default. We're always looking for a reason to separate. Help us to come together, Lord, by Your Spirit. By Your Spirit to set aside little things that don't matter and join together in the work that You have for this community in this place. Help us to be very different from what we see out in the world, where division seems to run rampant today. Help us to come together by Your Spirit for the sake of Your name. Amen.